this morning. Hebrews, when you find your place, I'll ask you to stand. We're going to begin reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 this morning. And as we look at this passage, of course, many of you know this and read this many times. But as we look at this, I think about faith. You know, faith is the key to our success. And what you place your faith in is going to matter for all eternity. And it's going to really determine the outcome of your life. D.L. Moody said this. He said, "Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity." I think Luther said this, "I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." That's important, isn't it? Let's begin reading in verse 1. You follow along. We're going to just read to verse 6 this morning, and then we'll have a word of prayer. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Father, we come to you thanking you so much. We're so grateful for what you've done in our lives. The very fact that we can come to this place and that we can meet as a body of believers, of folks who have put their faith and trust in you. We thank you so much that you've given your son to die on the cross, that we could understand what it is to have a relationship. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning, and we're thanking for those men and women who've gone on before us throughout the ages that have trusted in you and have walked with you, have learned to obey you, have learned to be patient, have learned to please you. Father, this morning we come to you, and as we look at this passage again, being reminded of the things of God, how we need to have our faith in the living God, that we too can please you. Father, I pray now you'd go before us, you'd speak to our hearts, help us that we have already prepared for what you might have for us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning we're going to look at several points here. We're going to look at the power of faith, we're going to look at the people of faith, and we're going to look at the purpose of faith. And we're going to see this morning again, that we already have, the very first verse, the definition of faith. It explains to us what faith is. And I believe Paul is the writer of this book. There's some dispute about that. But I believe he lived a life of faith. He knew exactly what it was to be faithful to God. And, of course, this book is written to those that are the Jews. We can see that with the title of the Hebrews. And so here he defines faith. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we look at those words, and what do those words mean? Faith, it means persuasion, credence, or moral conviction. So faith is a conviction. Faith is a conviction that each one of us have. We have convictions about things. And that conviction results in a necessity of the mind of what we do. It results in the actions of our lives, what we have faith in, what our convictions are. The word substance means to set under as a support or confidence. So faith is a conviction, and the conviction that we have is the substance or confidence of things hoped for. Hope for means to expect. I expect these things to pass. I expect this to happen. This morning we would all say that we believe and have a hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. We expect that. We expect there's an imminent return of Jesus Christ, as the Bible teaches us. We don't know when that is, but we do believe it. We believe it could be today, could be tomorrow, could be any time. So here he talks about this whole thing. So now our conviction is in the confidence of the things that we expect. My convictions are in the confidence of the things I expect. And so whatever your faith is in, that is where your confidence is. If you put your faith in yourself, then you have confidence in yourself and you have an expectation of that self, of being able to do certain things. And it's amazing when you get older, you see that you lose confidence in self. You realize the older you get, you can't do those things you used to could do. You look back and you think about, well, I used to jump out of bed, do this, this, and this, and you know, and today you don't do that. Nearly not as quick. Life changes. So to put faith in myself is a wrong place to put faith. To put faith in my vehicles. You know, it's like you jump in your car, that thing starts every single day. Maybe someone's experienced it this winter. It seems like that's the time when the battery, of course, the summer is the worst on the battery, but that's the time the battery fails is in the wintertime. You go out and you crank that key, and if you're like me, you know, you're one of those guys. Well, when I used to work, I did everything. I didn't waste time, but I didn't plan real well a lot of times. I would get to work on time, but I'd leave just enough time to get there. You know, well, actually, I get to work early, but whatever time that was. But I'd go out, jump in the car, turn the key, and take off. And get up out of bed, take your shower or whatever, and go take off. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. You jump in your car, you turn the key, and it goes, Then you got a problem you got to deal with. And you can put confidence in your car, but I know my experience is every year I'm putting some money into that vehicle for some reason because it doesn't hold up. It's man-made. So I don't put confidence in my car. I don't put confidence in me. And so it's important to find out where I should put confidence. We know that faith comes from God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." God gives us faith. It's who we get faith from. It's how we get faith in the things of God. It comes from the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 12, you can turn over there if you want to, just a page over. Look at verse 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." God is the author of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. It also comes from the Spirit of God. It helps to build our faith. We know this, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." That's a fruit of the Spirit. We need faith. Faith is important. And we know that faith helps us and encourages us in the things of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for a second. It speaks of this very thing. Many times we've read this. Sometimes we do it flippantly, or not flippantly, but we don't look at all the words in there. And as I was going through this and looking up faith, this is one of the words that popped up in this passage, which in many passages it does. In verse 11, again, he says, "He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Look at verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Faith. Faith is important. Faith is what motivates us. Faith is what gives us that drive to believe and have confidence in those things that we expect. Faith is not a blind act. It has an object. Kind of alluded to that already. Lots of people believe in lots of things. They find their faith is often misplaced because of that. Faith in stuff, in generally, is going to result in disappointment. The time you want to go out and you want to use that tool that you've been using for a long time, one, it may not be there at all together, but it may not fail. It may fail you that day. Has anybody ever used their hammer and went to take a nail out with the claw on that hammer and the handle break? It happens, doesn't it? Or you use your maul and you want to go out and split wood and all of a sudden the head comes off. Lots of things happen like that in our lives. And again, the faith in our abilities is not a good place to put our faith in, because we fall short. I was talking to somebody this morning about a job that I helped with, and one of the things that I made a measurement. My measurement was a little bit off. And if you put faith in that person, and at that particular time they put faith in me, and when we did that job, it's like, oh no, now we got to do this. And so we had to add to that, because my faith or my what I did was wrong. And so the object is important. And this morning I want to direct you to the object of our faith, where it should be placed. And it begins in the Word of God. You know, God gave us the Word and He gives us the faith. We know that, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important it is to be under the Word of God, or be reading the Word of God, or be in the Word of God, because there's where our faith is going to be built. That's where our convictions will come from, that we'll be able to have that confidence in what we can expect, and what we can expect is given to us in the Word of God. It's something that the old phrase, you can hang your hat on. Something you can have confidence in. We know the Word of God is truth. In John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's a purpose for that. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so here we're talking about this faith that we need. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that faith is important. Faith is what saves us. In John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him or have faith in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 tells us, for we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So if Christ is the object that we put our faith in, we can be assured that we will have salvation, we'll have a relationship, we'll spend eternity with God. That's something we can trust. That's something we can believe, but we have to come to that point of having the faith to believe it, to understanding it clearly. And you have to go back and understand who we are and what's happened to us. Why are we here? Why are we in this situation? Obviously, it's clear in Scripture. It teaches us. It teaches us that because of Adam, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the fact is that we're all sinners, and because of our sin, we can never attain to God, who is holy. And so that is the basis and the foundation that we need to come to and realize. And when we can understand the fact that God is holy and we are not, and we deserve what God has told us in His Word, we deserve to be cast in the lake of fire. And He doesn't do that, by the way. We do that when we don't choose Him. He gives everybody the opportunity to choose, to make that decision, to understand that. And He's done it for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, he goes on, he explains in verse 2, for by the elders, by it the elders obtain a good report. He's talking about the patriarchs here, the elders, the old men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, those that went before. And he's going to list those in this passage. This is the passage we call the faith passage. He says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, that is completed, by the word of God. And we know that if we go back in the book of Genesis, we can see that 11 times in the first two chapters it says, God said. Just by the very words of God, he spoke this place in existence. And as we understand that and clearly come to that understanding and have faith in that, that can change the way we look at things. That today is one of the biggest crux of people and their faith in God, is they don't believe that God spoke this world into existence. They believe that it happened by a big bang, that it was something that nature took its course and all of a sudden everything just came to fruition and was put together over a period of time, billions and billions of years. But it was God who created, it was God who moved, it was God who called, it was God who made, it was God who set. And you can see those phrases in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 many times. And so these men, these elders, they believed that God created the world by just speaking it into existence. It says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the trees didn't make themselves. A lot of people think that today. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and as we continue down this path, as we continue to the time the Lord's coming back, it's going to be like the days of Noah. I'm wondering what people are going to do that live in those big cities that think their food comes out of a can. They don't understand where it really comes from. It comes in the big truck. They bring it all the time. They don't know that's an animal or that's a vegetable that came out of the ground. There are people that are like that. You say, no, not really. You say, it can't be. Yes, there are. We know there's going to be a lot of people that will not seek God, don't care about this. Why? Because they're blinded by the god of this world. In 2 Peter 3:5 it says, for this they are willingly or are ignorant, which means to be hid. Ignorant is they won't search it out, they don't care about it. That the word of God in the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So the idea is that here as we see this, faith requires us maybe not to understand everything, but to trust it, to have confidence in it, that it's a conviction I have that what the Word of God says is true, even though I don't understand all of it. It's like it doesn't make sense to me that I'm in an argument with somebody and there's a fight going on, maybe it's at work or anywhere, and I get upset and I'm yelling and saying things, maybe not necessarily bad words, but my attitude's not right, my voice is not right, and think that, well, I was right and that person was wrong, but the Word of God teaches us we should still go to them and try to straighten that out. Because if anything, the tone we spoke was wrong. The way we acted may have been wrong. It's God's ways. It's not ours. It's not mine. And so it makes it difficult for me to reconcile that. But that's what, by faith, if I do it his way, I can trust in the outcome that it's going to be like he says, of being reconciled, if you will. These folks in this chapter, many of them, they just believed God by faith. We see here a couple we mentioned. We're going to look at a couple of these in the next few moments about what they believed and how they reacted to that belief. We see that Abel had a faith to practice what he believed. He went to worship God. And when he went to worship God, it tells us in verse 4, by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. He was righteous because he brought the right offering. Now, where did he get that information? Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. And they were raising their children. I suspect that maybe they told their children some things about God. Maybe God spoke to them. We don't know. It doesn't say so in the Bible. But when he brought forth his offering, that the firstling of the flock, he shed innocent blood. And through that, that was accounted to him for righteousness. He made a proper offering. He practiced the faith. Cain did not. In fact, Cain, it wasn't even the firstling of the fruit that he brought, it doesn't say. And he brought that which he brought from the ground. And then we see in verse 5, a faith to please, a testimony, a walk. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had faith to please God. That was his testimony. In the Genesis, it tells us that he walked with God and was no more. That walk with God is something that, just communing with God and talking with God. I don't know all that he had experienced because it doesn't tell us. It tells us he walked with God. That's his testimony. And it tells us it pleased God. And that's an opportunity for us as well. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writes these things in Ephesians chapter 5, talking about this walk, and explains to us a little bit. I'm just going to read it. Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Skip on down if you would, if you're following along. And verse 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is that what is acceptable unto the Lord." So walking with the Lord is to prove what is right. It's to find out what the truth is. It's to understand, how am I supposed to live? How am I supposed to commune with God? How does this fellowship take place? He says in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So again, just as Enoch walked with God, he pleased God. That is our desire to do, is to as well, as to walk with God and please him. So we want a faith that practices. We want a faith that pleases God. But also, we want a faith to prepare. Let's think about Noah. In verse 7 says, "But by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear in reverence to God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Righteousness was for him to prepare. Noah had never seen rain. He had no understanding of how the earth could ever be flooded. Imagine being in his position today. Imagine him having the conviction and the confidence that God said it's going to be a flood. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Now, we've heard of floods. We've seen floods. We've heard of the things that are going on, and Matthew chapter 25 speaks of. He didn't. He had no idea what this flood was all about, other than God told him that, as far as we know. But he took God at his word. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Again, that idea. So he's told to build this ark. He was told exactly how to build the ark. And what if he wouldn't have built it the way God said? Maybe he changed some dimensions. Maybe he decided to make it shorter or not as wide or not as high. I wonder if it would have been able to sustain in that flood. I wonder if it had problems and would have sunk. Again, the importance of walking with God and preparing for the things of God. You know, he was ridiculed. You know, people laughed at him to scorn. Thought, "What are you doing, Noah? You're crazy." But Noah, he believed God, he prepared, and he did that which God called him to do. You know, faith works like a car without gas. Neither one will take you very far, or faith without works, excuse me. If we don't have the works behind the faith, where is our faith? What do we believe? If I have a conviction about something, then it ought to move me to have that confidence in that conviction to do something that is expected or will be expected. That's what faith is. James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? We know the truth is that faith always has an action and works will be behind it. What we believe, we will do. But then we look at Abraham and we see faith for patience. Can you imagine this? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Again, we see he's walking with God. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I think about faith for patience. I think about his obedience here. So he left Haran. He went to where God told him to go. He trusted God. And then Abraham was told when he was 75 years old that he was going to be the father of many nations. Think about the patience. Now, he messed up on this. God straightened it out. He was 100 years old when Sarah conceived and had this child. 25 years. Patience on God. Of course, this was a miracle of God. She was past age. I'm sure her fertility was gone. But God can touch a body and do anything. And he did. They being old, they trusted in God's promises. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. God did exactly what he said he would do. In Genesis 15, 5 through 6, he says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. This is God speaking to Abraham. And tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And this is what Abraham says, and he believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. He had faith in God. He had faith in what God said. He believed it. They had faith even though they didn't experience the promises firsthand. See, today, there have been many people that have gone before us that had faith in Christ coming back. Just like we are today, we look out and we see things going on. There were people back in the day when they looked out as well and saw and said, the Lord's coming back soon. They had faith in that. And that faith was the conviction that really they had confidence in, they were expecting the Lord to come back. And based on that, they were living their lives accordingly to the Word of God. As we are today, we're looking for the Lord to come back. So from the very beginning when God, or the Lord Jesus Christ left, they were looking for him to come back. And they were living accordingly. That's the faith that we want. That's the faith that we can have. In Romans chapter 4, flip over there for a second. In Romans chapter 4, it speaks of this thing as well, talking about Abraham and his faith. Look at verse 19, if you would. Romans chapter 4. In verse 19, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, talking about Abraham, his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. But for us also, for you and for me today, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Just as Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness, the same is for us today. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that is imputed to us righteousness. And the day I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was righteous in God's eyes and will be until the day I die physically, because I'm going to live forever. And that's the key to this whole thing, is having faith in God, being convinced in my heart, the conviction that I know that I can have confidence in the Word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the power of faith, but there's also the people of faith, which are all those who put their faith and trust in Christ. But what is the purpose of faith? What is the purpose of our faith? Well, that's what Paul is saying in Hebrews chapter 11. This is the purpose of your faith. This is the purpose of my faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So he's telling us this purpose of our faith is to please God. And that's what faith does. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have faith in the Word of God, and we're willing to live by that faith, God is pleased. And when God is pleased, he blesses abundantly. So we come to God and we must believe that he is this God. Who is God? He's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's holy. I don't even understand that. I don't really understand holiness. One day we will experience it in its fullness. In Psalm 99:9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord, Jehovah, our God is holy." He's the Almighty. There's nothing he cannot do. Genesis 17:1, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." The Almighty God. And we see that, and Abraham experienced that. Sarah, especially with the birth of this child, the Almighty God. He's the only God. There's none else. There is only one God. Today, that's a lot of confusion. A lot of people believe there's a lot of different gods. In fact, young people especially, they talk about themselves being gods. And they don't understand because they've been misled over the years. The past 20 years, our government education system has removed God, not just in the elementary grades and the high school years, but in the colleges. You know who the professors are today? They're the ones of the 60s and 70s who were rebelling back then. Those are the ones who are in the colleges teaching the kids today. Those are the ones who rejected God then and are still rejecting God. In fact, communism cannot live and thrive without the rejection of God. That's clear. Isaiah 45:5-6, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else." There are people who will never believe that. This generation, the generations before, Psalm 14, 1 through 3 tells us. This is written a long time ago. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Of course, we know this is spoken of in Romans. And so the question this morning, the first one is, do you have faith? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe that there is a God in existence? I was talking to someone recently, and I remember in my young life, I always believed there was a God. Always did. Didn't know him, didn't know Jesus Christ, didn't know any of that. I believed there was a God, this higher being, didn't know anything about him. The person I was talking to, he indicated the same idea. And today, that has gone away. Because we've just taken God away from everything. Young people growing up in the system, they don't believe that. And so that's one of the most important things. We can't have faith. We can't please God without first believing that He is God. That He is the one God, the one true and living God. Not many gods, but one God. The God of the Bible. And if you can believe that, you're on good ground. Because that's the first place you need to rest your faith, is in God. But then there's the next step. The second point of this verse, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that God is, and then that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Rewarder. I've experienced that. You have too. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've experienced the reward already. The reward of salvation. But then there's the reward that we get and we continue to get as we continue to live this Christian life. The blessings of God. Having God's hand upon our lives. And it's great to hear the testimonies of how God led a person to this particular place, or God put this in their, helped them in this way, or God had a person that helped them out in a certain way. Those testimonies are important for our children and for ourselves to hear as well, that there is a God that I believe in. And I believe God orchestrates everything. And I'm thankful for God that He does. I just want to be in that right path where He's doing the orchestrating, I guess. And so the second point here to please God is you must believe that He is a rewarder to them. It says diligently to seek Him. That word diligent means speed. Has the idea of speed. And it's by faith that we believe God rewards men. This faith always, again, it has an action. The action here is diligently seeking Him. Do I have a conviction and a confidence in what I expect that God will do in my life? So how am I going to find out? How do I build that conviction to have that confidence that I can expect? And what am I supposed to expect? That's where the Word of God comes in. That's how we find out. That's why I have confidence, I have conviction and a confidence in the Word of God, that if I follow His plan, then it will turn out like He says. And He tells me how it's going to turn out. Maybe not all the details. He don't tell me when I'm going to hit my thumb with a hammer, but He says it's going to happen. Okay, not in those terms. There's suffering in serving Christ, right? We know that. But He says we can know, we can have a conviction and be confident about what He tells us and expect it to happen. Jesus, when He was speaking about the fourfold witness of Himself, the testimony of John the Baptist, His testimony of how He did the miracles, the testimony of God. But He said this in John 5:39. He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." So what He says is, search the Scriptures and you'll learn about Jesus. You'll learn about God's plan. You'll learn about what He has for us. And He tells us to do it with all speed or all diligence, if you will. I remember Luke penned these words in Acts chapter 17. And Paul, when he was on this missionary journey with Silas, he went to Berea. But first he went to Thessalonica. And of course he said much about those in Thessalonica, about them learning the word of God or receiving the word of God. But here the Bereans, he says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It says, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So searching the scripture, had a readiness of mind. They had a conviction. They wanted to find out what the word of God said. They searched it, what they had at that time. And through that, their belief grew. And through that, many were saved. Without the word of God today, we wouldn't be saved. It'd be impossible, because God made it that way. We want to seek the Lord. We want to seek God for the direction of our life. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote these. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. The whole idea is that we would understand what this faith is God's given to us, and what it's to do in our lives, and how it's to lead us as we have become Christians and as we begin this walk with God. Just as Enoch walked with God and was no more. We want that testimony that we walk with God. Not just amongst ourselves, but in the community. That's what's wrong with America today. Tony Perkins, I don't know when he did this, a couple days ago, I think. He had something that he videoed, but they were calling for pastors to pray, for people to pray, for our country. And that's what we need to do. We don't give up on this country, but we need to pray for this country. We need to seek God's face for this country. And to do that, we need to first do just like it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Is we're to humble ourselves. We're to pray. Cry out to God. Get serious about that. I'm not going to ask you the last time you prayed for our country and ask God to do something. I'm hoping every day you're doing that, because that's what we need to be doing. There needs to be much tears shed over what's going on. Why? Because we want God to hear. So as we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek God's face, we're asking Him, we're begging Him, and we're turning from our wicked ways. Why? Because God is going to reveal those through the Word of God. As we're diligently seeking Him, He's going to reveal in my life what I'm not doing right. And He does. And when He does, I need to turn from that. Repent and turn from that. Then He says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We're not going to be able to circumvent God's word. If we don't do it His way, it ain't going to happen. If we're the ones who are called, the called, which we are if we're born again, then we're the ones who are to be doing this. He's not calling the lost to do this. He's calling those that have faith in the word of God. I believe what the word of God says. I believe if we as a Christian used to be society, but Christians in general will get on their knees and do what it says, I believe it can happen just like He says. It could change the direction of this country. The children of Israel did it many times. Go read the book of Judges. How many times did they cry out to God, and God sent the right person, and they worshiped God, they followed God. We have the examples. America's not lost yet. Unless we don't have faith and we give up. And that's what He's calling us to do, is have faith. We're saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God. We're justified by faith. Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're children of God by faith. John 1, 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We are sanctified by faith in Christ. Acts 26, 1, 8, or 18, Paul was giving his testimony to Agrippa. He told him the Lord told him to do this. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Jesus. We are to serve by faith. Delight ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. We're to be willing to suffer by faith. I'm not going to go there, but James chapter 1, 2, and 4 talks about that, as well as 1 Peter. It comes when we least expect it, for sure. But there's a plan and purpose for it. Romans 8, 28 reminds us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. What is the purpose of faith? It is to please God. That's why He has called us, is to please Him. Who do I want to please most? Here's the guy that wants to please himself most. That's what our faith will do. As we think about this today, I want us to be reminded, this faith to please God requires that we believe that God is who He says He is. And that we seek Him, knowing that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Now, it's not material rewards we'll seek if we seek the Lord. He'll change that. It'll no longer be the material things that are important, but the spiritual things that are most important. In Luke chapter 17, I'm reminded of the apostles. And this is where I want to be as well, because I need this. The apostle said unto the Lord, says, increase our faith. Boy, I want stronger faith. I want faith to believe what the Bible says and practice what it says. I want to have confidence in the Word of God. It's a belief. If we look back at Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, number one. Number two, and embraced them. And number three, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They agreed with God. So here they had faith. They embraced that faith. And they agreed or confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Today, if we want this same idea and live the same way these folks have, to be able to worship God as Abel did, to be able to live and walk with God as Enoch did and as Noah did when he prepared, because he was moved with fear, he believed God. And believing God moved him to do something, and that was preparation for something that would take place years later. And Abraham demonstrated patience on waiting on God and trusting Him, not knowing what was ahead, but willing to walk and follow Him. Turn back to 2 Peter, and we're going to close. 2 Peter chapter 1. We read this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, again in verse 3, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto this life. God has given us all things to live this life that He's called us to live. It says, live unto, pertain unto life and godliness. That's important. We throw that out a lot of times. What is godliness? Well, I don't know, but we're not going to bother with that. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now look at this. Look what it says here. Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He's talking about the Word of God this morning. These are the precious promises we hold in our hand. These teach us what God has for us. That's why for us to please God, we want to diligently seek them. It's important. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Boy, I love the divine nature. My flesh doesn't. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, we don't have to sin. He says, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. You see that word again? Speed. Just like he says, diligently seek Him. He says, give it all diligence. Peter's writing this. Add to your faith. That's the first thing here. Faith. Add to your faith. Virtue. That's valor. Excellence. Not choosing that which is okay, but choosing that which is best. We learn that as we continue to grow in Christ. He says to virtue knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of God. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. And to knowledge temperance. That's talking about control. And to temperance patience. Learning to wait on God. And to patience godliness. Learning how to live godly. What godly is and what godly speaks of. And what does it mean? And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That's the phileo love and then the agape love. Look at verse 8. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does that come from? Diligently seeking him. What would that old phrase they said years ago, WWD, I hated those little bands. Everybody wore them. What would Jesus do, WWJD? I thought, you guys, that's crazy. But anyway, that's what this is saying. What would Jesus do? We want the knowledge of what he would do in the situations that we're living in today. We want to know how he would react if our country was going the direction it is right now. What would he do? Would it change what he did in the Bible? No. He's the example. He gives us and helps us to understand what that is. Why? Because we want to please God. Look what he says in verse 9. If we don't do these, he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In verse 10, he says, wherefore, the rather, instead of being in that situation, brother, make your calling and election sure. Have confidence in the things that God has given to you, your salvation and the plan he has for your life. He says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Again, I will fail. God will never fail. 11, he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. That minister unto you means aid. For so an entrance shall aid you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Can't wait to get there. In verse 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. He said, I'm going to keep telling you these things. That's why I wrote the letter. I know you know them. I know them. But I need to hear them over and over and over again. Why? Because I don't always remember everything. Even though I know them, I don't remember them. And it's going to happen to all of us at some point, or could, may not. It's so important. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. He's talking about dying. He's getting ready to die. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. The importance, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And the fact is we need to come to him, believing that he is, and that those that diligently seek him, he's going to reward. He tells us that. So this morning, do we have faith, number one, to offer ourselves? It's an offering. It comes to worshiping God. Do we have faith to walk with God? Do we have faith to prepare? Do we have faith to be patient and wait on God? Are we able to obey God? Do we have that faith that I can obey it? No matter what we don't know about tomorrow. God has the blueprint for each one of us. We need to be persuaded. We need to embrace it and confess to follow it. Agree to follow it. It's all by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for God who given has given us these things, for it's God who's given us the faith to trust. And we find that through the Word of God this morning. Father, help each one of us to grow our faith that we might continue to walk with you, continue to learn about you, understanding especially these days, the trying times that we live in, how we are supposed to respond, how we're supposed to act. We don't know what another day will bring forth, but we can trust your word for it. I pray you go before us and guide and direct in Jesus' name.